Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live on Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, baby.
Thank you.
And to all the mamas out there, the grandmamas, the mother-in-loves.
The daughter-in-loves, the daughters. We have
Happy
so
Mother's
many.
Happy Mother's Day to you. And I trust you didn't overeat. And I trust you had a great time of fellowship and glorifying the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One of my favorite actors.
Is not necessarily the woman this time, but hey, it's a good one.
John Wayne. I love John Wayne. He was my favorite star during my formative years. And he was always the good guy, the one who stood for what was right, no matter the consequences. Three of my favorite John Wayne quotes. Life is tough, but it's tougher when you're stupid. Second, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Third, tomorrow's the most important thing in life. Comes into us midnight very clean. It's perfect when it arrives, and it puts itself in our hands. It hopes we've learned something from yesterday.
That's a good one.
The only Academy Award he ever won was for a movie in 1969 called True Grit. And there was a 14-year-old girl in it who said to him, you know, they tell me you have true grit. And that's why she wanted to hire him to find the man that killed her father. Dictionary.com defines true grit as firmness of character, indomitable spirit. The best definition I ever heard of true grit is grit is doing what you don't want to do to be what you want to be. Let me say it again. Grit is doing what you don't want to do to be what you want to be. If you want to be a winner in the game of life, you need to develop grit, true grit, or more properly, Holy Spirit grit.
There you go.
Holy Spirit grit. As we were thinking about this, we're prompted to write, walk, talk, and act the way you were meant to be. Mm. Walk, talk, and act the way you were meant to be.
With Holy Spirit grit.
That's it. A person with true grit will never give in to a list of the following seven emotions we're going to share with you. Now, there's a difference between being attacked by these things and allowing them to take over you.
That's right.
Now, this list includes anxiety, fear, doubt, guilt, depression, discouragement, and jealousy. Mm. It's not a mind over matter for the Christian. It is a continual applying of the Word of God to negative emotions.
That's true.
Here are the seven. Now, on your outlines, those of you here at church tonight and those of you watching around the world, in addition to the emotion, we put scriptures. But in the interest of time tonight, I'm not going to read those scriptures because you've got them there. But I encourage you to do it. First, anxiety, Philippians 4:6. Second, fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. Third, doubt. Fourth, guilt.
That's third is Mark 11:23.
Thank you. Fourth is guilt, Isaiah 43:25. Fifth, depression, Psalm 40:1-3. Sixth, discouragement. Mm. Discouragement, let me just say this, is a temporary feeling that occurs when somebody's not doing what they promised they would do, or things not going the way they thought they would, or ought to go. Mm. Scripture for that is Deuteronomy 31:8. Seventh, jealousy. Jealousy. Jealousy is not only a negative emotion, but it's a sin, and it'll hurt you. 1 Corinthians 13:4.
Amen. 13:4.
Love overcomes all these seven emotions. The Word does. The Word does. Hallelujah.
Scripture for everything.
Scripture for everything.
Amen.
Number two, bulldog tenacity. My father, who'll turn 92 on Thursday. Mm. My father had a dog once named Boss. Now, he thought he was a bulldog pit bull, and Doberman all rolled into one animal. Truth be told, he was really a cross between a Chihuahua and a rat terrier. To say Boss had visions of grandeur would be an understatement. But one thing he had in abundance was tenacity.
That's right.
Tenacity.
True grit.
If Boss had a cord from a pool toy in his mouth, you could not make him turn it loose. He'd hold on it and swing it around and around and around. But he'd never let go.
Yeah, and you could pick that toy up and you'd have him hanging from it. He did
holding
not
on to the cord.
Let it go.
He would not let it go. He was not willing to get up or let go what he deemed important.
To him.
Yep, that's exactly right. What does the word say about tenacity?
In Hebrews 10:36, this is in the New International Version, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And the King James Version says it this way, for ye have need of patience, that after it ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So that is called hanging on to it, right?
Yeah.
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for patience here is G. That's what we don't want to hear, right? Patience. G, 5281. And it means steadfast constancy, endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. It's called hanging in there with grit. When you think of the Greek definition of patience, you can think of James 5:11, what it talks about Job. In the New International Version is this one. It says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. How does a person develop boss type bulldog tenacity? We can look at Galatians 6 verse 9. This in the Amplified Bible, Classic Amplified. It says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, I like that Classic Amplified version, in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen, relax our courage, and faint.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
Amelia Earhart, the aviation pioneer, that's a great quote. Do you want to share that?
You go right ahead.
All right. The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. The fears are paper tigers. You can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change and control your life. And the procedure, the process, is its own reward.
Mm.
That's a great quote. It really is. Number three, mental discipline. Mental discipline. You know, this is for a person that has an indomitable spirit, where they will not allow themselves to dwell on the foolishness of negative thinking, as opposed to the positive possibilities of life. One of the best ways to develop mental discipline is a journey through three powerful thoughts in Proverbs 23.
Mm-mm. First, mental discipline requires you to think. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, and you know, honey, if I could throw this in, you know, you're going to be thinking something. It's a matter of controlling what it is you think, because
sure.
It says in this proverb, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we're not controlling it, some other forces are controlling it. What a person thinks on is what they will act on. And in order to develop a mental positive discipline, we need to break out of the negative thought patterns that maybe have held us in the past. You know, whereas filling our mind with more pure, powerful, positive from the Word of God. The best way to defeat what Zig Ziglar called stinking thinking, I used to love Ziggy, is this continual dose of Ephesians 24, verses 22 through 24. I like this in the Message Bible. It says, since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. You know, as we're growing in the Word, we know, we're being told. says, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed with the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. It's a process. It's a process of putting the good stuff in and taking the bad stuff out. We talked about that recently.
That's exactly right. The second mental discipline is for you to control what you speak.
Wow.
Somebody just went, please don't say that. Don't talk about that one.
There you go.
Proverbs 23:16. Yes, my heart will rejoice when your lips speak right things.
Mm.
Could be, my heart will rejoice when you keep your mouth shut.
That's also a discipline.
That's a discipline.
Saying the right thing at the right time or not saying anything at all.
Here's a question. How often do you use negative or self-defeating words to express doubt, a lack of confidence in yourself, or fear about something you're facing? How often? Think about that.
Mm.
Do you speak broke, or do you speak being debt-free? Do you speak rich and wealthy, or do you speak broke? The rich speak doesn't say, I can't, if only, I know I should. Have you ever noticed that people who say, I never seem to get around to doing anything, are actually speaking the words they want to be true? Think about that.
Wow.
That's what they're doing. What you're thinking and speaking determines where you're living.
In Romans 4, verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's called bringing the word about by speaking it into existence.
Absolutely. What you think about, you speak about. What you speak about, you bring about.
That's right.
The third mental discipline is how you apply the words you've thought and spoken.
Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. If we spend as much time thinking about the solution as we did worrying about the problem, we'd probably have the answer a whole lot quicker. So it's important to think and speak right words. Catch yourself if you're getting into the negative, and then turn around and let's look for the positive in it. And this is the way that we develop strong character qualities, God-based character qualities. Like it says in James 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Who wants to be deceived?
According to Strong's Concordance, the word doer is the Greek word H4163. H4163, and it means a maker, producer, author, doer, performer, one who obeys or fulfills the law.
Wow.
Talking about you.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Nowhere in that definition do we read that being a doer is a talker. It's not in there.
In James 1:22, in the Classic Amplified, it says, be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listening to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. You know, what you heard in church today, what did you remember? And what are you applying to your life?
Developing a mental discipline is not a matter of luck. The difference between those who are successful and accomplish great things and those who don't comes down to one thing. Thinking and talking about what you're going to do is not enough. You got to act. Of course, the title of this message, Walk, Talk, and Act on What You Were Meant to Be.
Amen.
What you were meant to be.
Amen.
Number four.
Four, power of optimistic outlook. We can choose whether we want to be optimistic. We can get out of bed in the morning and decide whether we want it to be a great day or not. You know, we choose whether to allow rejection and setbacks and temporary failures to spoil or control us and push us into a retreat. Is God for us? And you know, as the scripture says, if God is for you, who can be against you? So do you think, okay, I may not know the answer, but God has it, and I can rest on that. Our inward disposition will determine our outward outlook.
Say that again.
Our inward disposition will always determine our outward outlook.
It's true.
So that's why we have to be grounded in the Word of God. We can't let what's happening around us control what's living inside of us. Mm. We need to take what's living inside of us and let that control what's happening around us. So the point being, like it says in Colossians 3, verse 1 in the Message Bible, He is your life. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. If we're putting the Word in and asking the Lord to let the Holy Spirit lead us to see things as His perspective, our lives will change. When our outlook is a reflection of His outlook, then we're on our way to having true grit, holding on until we're
I like the first
number
part
five.
Of that scripture. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Act like it.
That's what the Message Bible does. It'll just tell you.
Number five.
What's going
on? Be a finisher. Have you ever started a project, an assignment, or a job with a sudden burst of enthusiasm, only to be slowed down by an obstacle and stopped short of your goal by continual obstacles? Congratulations. That's you. You're average. You're average.
But who wants to be average?
That's it. But you don't have to stay that way.
There you go.
That's the point. Those who rise above the crowd are the ones who go the extra mile, while the others are relaxing in front of TV or surfing the internet. That's a fact.
So true. That's so true.
I'm not picking on anybody, but if the shoe fits, put it on.
Yeah, that's why I try not to get on too much. What?
I know. Strength of a person's character, their grit and drive to success, is determined by what? Let me just say this too. Don't just sit down and say, well, what can we watch tonight? And then just kind of figure out what would be most appealing to you. Program what you're going to watch. Record it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can take a 60-minute program and watch it in 45 minutes. You save 15 minutes worth of commercials. And it's just a better use of your time.
Yeah, if there's something you really want to learn, you know, program it.
And
if there's something, sometimes there's just times when you just want, you need to rest your brain and have something to, you know, smile about or something to just, you know, it depends on what it is that you're using it for.
That's exactly right.
Mm.
The strength of a person's character, their grit,
yes,
and drive to success is determined by whether or not they can finish what they started. Employees who complete the task are more highly valued than those who, though they make a valiant effort, fall short.
That's right.
The one through whom every effort, thought, and action should be measured was a finisher.
John 4:34, New Living Translation. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing His work. Not only was Jesus a finisher, but He gave us what we need on the inside to be finishers as well. In Philippians 1:6, in the New Living Translation, it says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns, which means as long as you're living, there's a purpose. When you have, as we say, when you have a pulse, you have a purpose. So on Judgment Day, we want to be able to say the words found in 2 Timothy 4:7 in the Classic Amplified we're using. I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly the faith. Because I had grit, developed grit. So if we want to be finishers, The words in Hebrews 12:2 in the Classic Amplified again should be like second nature to us. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief and is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. For he, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We can't forget the fact that everything that we're doing is building toward a really an eternity which will last forever. I wonder really how many people will get to eternity and go, I should have spent a little bit more time on earth pursuing the things of God.
True.
Wow.
Number six, don't complain about your circumstances. Instead, create the ones you want.
There you go. In dictionary.com, it defines circumstances as a condition, detail, part, or attribute with respect to time, place, manner, agent, etc., that accompanies, determines, or modifies a fact or an event. A modifying or influencing factor.
You know, we want to tell you there's one thing. It can't be changed or modified. Is that Jesus saves.
Yes.
Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus changes things which the world thinks can never be changed.
That's right.
But he changes things.
Hallelujah.
You know, we should never worry about circumstances because we have the authority, the wisdom, and access to create any kind of circumstance we want. So if it doesn't exist, we need to create it. Our circumstances, please hear this, our circumstances do not determine our destiny. They do not. They just reflect our current location and what we're doing or not doing at the moment. Circumstances and facts change. Truth doesn't. The Word is truth.
And the fact is we have the Word. Some people don't have the Word. I mean, some people don't have the Word. Say, your financial condition. It can change for the worse by a sudden illness or an accident or an unforeseen layoff or, you know, other catastrophic events.
Hurricanes.
Yeah. And death or divorce. Your financial condition can change for the better, hallelujah, with an unexpected bonus or an increase in salary or perhaps even an unexpected inheritance. So our financial circumstances can change in a heartbeat for the better or the worse. However, one thing never changes. In Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not.
Hallelujah.
And in Hebrews 13:8, in the Classic Amplified, it says, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same, yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. So if God doesn't change, and he doesn't, and if his word doesn't change, and it doesn't, and his purposes for us remain the same, and they do, then, you know, it should be obvious that our circumstances can change, but God watching out for us will never change. So let's go just a little bit deeper. Matthew 3, verse 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word repent means to change one's mind. The Classic Amplified translation of Matthew 3:2 says, and saying, repent, think differently, change your mind, regretting your sins and changing your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where a person will spend eternity, heaven or hell changes when you change your mind and accept the Lord. Whether you live in lack or surplus can change when you change your mind about what to do.
You know, honey, people think that repent, when you say repent, they think forgiveness of sin. But what they don't understand is the real part of that is changing the way you think, changing what goes in your mind, changing what you put in your heart. So it's just more than, Father, forgive me these things that I've done or said or thought.
Right.
It's a change. It's a mental change, not only a spiritual change. But it's a mental change, an attitude change that makes a difference
for
real repentance.
And we have to just the thing is to not panic, but just get before the Lord and say, well, you know, what are we doing here, Lord? I mean, what are we doing to get, like, you know, letting him be a part of the change. And as it says in Romans 12, too, love this. This is also the classic Amplified. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And as we do this, God is at all the time working within us. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. They can suck you in without you knowing it.
Absolutely.
It says, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. And let me just throw in this one other verse, Acts 3:9. Living Bible says, now change your mind and attitude to God and turn to him so he can cleanse away your sins and send you wonderful times of refreshment from the presence of the Lord. So it is just a matter of getting before him, being open to how he wants to change us, and he will change our circumstances really for us.
Amen.
He can.
Number 7, true grit talks while others walk.
Wow.
Anyone who ever said talk is cheap never argued with a traffic policeman. Never did. Someone who once said that talk is cheap, but actions are priceless. You know what impresses God? What makes a difference with him? He tells you.
In Romans 2:13?
Yes, he does.
This is in the Message. It'll tell you. Merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time if you don't do what he commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes the difference with God.
Just as clear as it can be.
Message makes it very clear.
Very clear.
God's impressed with what we do, not with what we intended to do or what we say we were going to do, but what we actually do.
So if you want God's approval, listen to James 2:24, God's Word Translation. You see that a person receives God's approval because of what he does, not only because of what he believes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You receive approval by doing what he says in his word.
Hallelujah.
Years ago, Dr. Barcerillo said, faith is a fact, but you got to act. And that's the key. Life is full of people
who do a lot of talking.
Who do a lot of talking about what they're going to do. But nothing ever seems to happen.
Mm.
I have a friend who's one of the most creative people I've ever met. But he had a totally unrealistic view of what it takes to make things happen that his mind creates.
Mm.
A creation without implementation will never come to fruition.
That is so right.
Never will.
Not only that, but...
So if you want to move from the prison of mediocrity...
Yeah, that's right.
...to the freedom success can bring, then you need to do something instead of talking about it.
Genesis 39:22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for doer is H6213, and it means to do, accomplish, produce. Joseph was a dreamer, but his destiny manifested because he did something about that dream. Hallelujah. So if you want to become the go-to person in whatever the work, you know, that your hands find to do, you need to find and look for the doors of opportunity that are open to you. Even with Joseph, he excelled, right?
He did.
He excelled as a prisoner in prison. Wow. And it opened the doors for him to escape the prison into his destiny.
Yeah. If you're not doing what the Word of God says to do, then you're deceiving yourselves.
That's right.
You're deceiving yourselves.
We read this earlier in James 1:22, Classic Amplified. Be doers of the Word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. and the Lord's word is the truth. Wow.
Hallelujah. When we listen, obey, and act on his word, God will bless and reward us.
Think of that. It says in James 1:25 in the New Living Translation, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That's a promise to remember. Hallelujah.
Walk, talk, and act the way you were meant to be.
Hallelujah.
It's easy to talk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's easy to believe sometimes. Easy to talk. But the doing is where the rubber hits the road.
Mm.
What are you doing? Are you doing the things that he called you to do? Or fulfilling your assignment? Sometimes with assignment, as a man said to us yesterday, it comes with realignment.
That's right. That was good.
Assignment comes with a realignment.
And we are always constantly
realigning.
Realigning.
What we do.
That's right. That's being open to the Spirit. But he'll lead us in the way that we should go, and he will counsel us.
And there are times in life that you need to change your procedures and what you're doing.
Right.
There was a time that I limited myself to 8 television shows. Then I cut it down to 6, and I've cut it down again. But they're all recorded.
But it all depends on what you got going on.
That's exactly
and what
right.
needs to be done. And sometimes it just means...
Sometimes it's more important to read. I read for a living. And sometimes it's just good to disengage a little bit. But reading, you learn.
Amen.
You learn.
I love to read.
Amen.
Amen. This
Glory
been a wonderful...
to God and happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Amen.
Now I want to tell you, you're going to want to listen to Rich Sauce for Breakfast in the morning. It'll make you shout. It's a great way to start the week.
It is.
Energize your week. It'll bless you. I had one friend that sometimes he gets so excited he runs out of the house and down the street. Other times he runs out and jumps in the pool. He gets so fired up. Of course, he likes it when it's warmer than what it's been. So.
You're funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyhow, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. And to all the moms out there, and you know, there are a lot of moms who are, they've got spiritual children, so a lot of moms out there, so give them the credit too. They've helped you along the way.
Amen.
All right.
And if you know somebody that's a single mom with a bunch of kids, ask God what you can do to help them out. Maybe it's keeping the kids so mom can go grocery shopping without 2 babies in the cart taking everything off the shelf. You know, but just think about it. Or if there's if your mother's not living, maybe there's a woman in your neighborhood or your church who has no family left. Everyone's passed.
Mm-hmm.
Call her and just tell her happy Mother's Day. Speak a word
Thinking
of encouragement
her.
To her. That's important. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, take your Bibles, go to the top where it says, sow a seed and just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.